start your day the Torah with Rabbi Dudi Rosenberg.
Here in Manchester we have the luxury of 40 minutes compared to the half an hour we have in Golders Green. So I'll try to keep an eye on the clock, but it's a Tanis today, so a little bit more flexible. The Maggid of Mezrich had two outstanding disciples. He sent them both to Germany to disseminate Torah. They were renowned brothers. One was Rav Shmelke of Nikolsburg, and the other one was known as Hakuten Pinchas Levi Ish Horowitz, with the acronym of the Haflu. He became Ruv in Frankfurt. But due to his Hasidic tendencies, he suffered significant persecution. Once the flu was settled, after a while he went to revisit his friends back in Poland. When he went there, he received Kuvud Meluchim, Fiat Tishten, and they kabbled him, Simcha. And there was a great disparity between the treatment which he got home in Frankfurt and abroad when he came to visit Poland. And they asked Reb Pinchas his reaction, why this was this significant contrast. So the Flu said, when Pinchas plays at home, which means that his bismano, like we've started now the first week of the Bainam Tzurim, and Parshas Pinchas is invariably within that, that means Pinchas is playing at home, then this concurs with the Bainam Tzurim. But when Pinchas plays away, as in Yumem Toivim, he gets mafte on every single occasion. So it comes Paisach, Shvi'ah, Sikkos, it's all Pinchas all the way. Then he kicked the Kuvud Meluchim. That's when he's away from home. So Memaile, me too, when I'm at home, is Bainam Tzurim. But when I'm away in Poland, versteht man mit zu geben die geherige Kuvud. So the Kehila in Frankfurt, we came aware of the way they treated him over there. They were a little bit concerned that upon his return, he might perhaps take up a rabbistive back in Poland and he won't come back. So they sent him a message that they're doubling his wages. But at this point, the Chazan of Frankfurt also got wind to this. And he heard that they just doubled the wages of the Ruv. And he said, what about me? And maybe I should get a similar increase. So the governing office sent him a message that he was Oise Maase Zimri, er singt sich schein, Zimri, aber me wakisch schake Pinchas, aber will huben schare so wie der Ruf, so der das geht nicht. So let's enter the Seder. Why doesn't the Parsha start with the census count? If you look a little bit into the Parsha, it starts off with Si'i es roish kol adas b'nai Yisrael, mi ben esrim shun uvumalu, to make a census, who is above 20 years and follows. And no, the Pusik doesn't start with it. We start with a Parsha which is it really belongs as a sequel to the last Parsha. And it's as if to say, you know, the follow-on, the sequel to last week's events, hold on, the action was now, but now the announcement of Pinchas is coming in the next week. Why doesn't the whole Parsha from the Rebbein Shloilom describing his gift to Pinchas of Beritzi Shulom should have finished off the conclusion of Parsha's Bulog, and then the beginning of the next Parsha would have been a new Sigyet. So they split it and they put it into two parts. Number two, how come the same Klal Yisrael who are distinguished for their tzniyas, Matoivi Yoyulechu Yankov, Shaim Pischaim Chevunim Zi Keneged Zi, and they should fall prey to Vayuchal Hu Om Liznois El Benois Moya, which seems to be an outlandish promiscuity, and in a way which is nicht zu verstehen that Klal Yisrael should have fallen to such depths and to such an abyss. There's a pusik, they say, Shiftei Ko, Eides Li Yisrael, that the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyuchel has got a signature on every single one of the tribes. Lachanoichi Mishpachas Hachanoichi, Hakarmi Mishpachas Hapalpali. There's a Yid and there's a Hay at the beginning and the end of every single tribe. The Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyuchel signs underneath and says, I testify to the purity of these tribes. And I can tell you that they are zum sich gehalten bi kedishe ve tahara. And yet, here you have a parsha of Ayuchel who om lisnois and benois moyov. Wie stimmt das? How does this reconcile? Third question. We know the famous Chazal. By Pinchas it says, bedin hi sheyitoy schuroi. That it's according to the letter of the law, almost, that Pinchas should get his reward, his just reward. And we know a general klal, schar mitzvah b'hai al meleke, that there is no reward in this world for deeds and mitzvahs which are performed here. And yet here we say, no, bedin yiv shitl schuroi. Here he gets it according to the law, according to the letter of the law, so to speak. Wie versteht man das? Then there's the Rashi in this week's Seder, who speaks about Bekano Yes Kenusi. So Rashi uses the words there, quoting Rizal, Bekitzpoi Esaketzef, Shehoyu Li Liktsoif. He angered the anger, so to speak, that it was for me to assume. That was something which I should have had this wrath. And no, Pinchas stood in, so to speak, on my behalf. And he was Bekitzpoi Esaketzef, Shehoyu Li Liktsoif. Which also requires elucidation. Another question. There's a stir in Tupsikim and Tehillim, also referring. On the one hand, it says there, Keil Zoyaim Bechol Yoim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is angered every day, or has that middle of anger every day. And then another one, it says, V'chesed Keil Kol HaYoim, the Ribbono Shel Olam exercises kindness. Now, how does that work? Either it's Zoyim or it's Chesed. How do the two work? So we go into an area, possibly it was discussed before, but this is a thought which is going to enter here to the mahalach of the structure. But the Gemur says, Kein Zoyim b'chol Yoim, going back to last week, said that the Ribbono Shel Olam is, so to speak, exercises the middah of Kaas every day. So Gemur asks the Kamuzamoy, how long for? Rega. And then there's two pshutim. And Tosfos explaining how Bilam manipulated this, so to speak. And he said, Kaleim. But the end of the day is that Ribbono Shel Olam has every day an exercises of the middah of Kaas. Why? What do we need the Ribbono Shel Olam's middah of anger for? But then there's another Gemur in Bruchas which says as following. A person should be margiz, again, the lidin of roiges, the middle of on that yetzer toiv, on the middle of yetzer hura, because in order not to succumb to the yetzer hura and to a virus, the only way would be that the middas hagvira has got now to overwhelm, so to speak. Lila akudish borchi oizroi lo yuchaloi. If a man was not able to have the help and the assistance of the Ribbono Shel Olam every single day in how to overcome the Yetzer Hara, he would never manage. So therefore, we've got the Ribbono Shel Olam's Zam to assist him. Because only when you've got the Midas HaGvira's strength there, balancing the Midas HaChesed, which is ongoing, then the person can prevail over his Yetzer Hara. Chesed and Gevira appear to be two opposites. On the one hand, Chesed is kindness and no limitations. And Gevira symbolizes, so to speak, strength, restraint, self-discipline, boundaries. And you can see that the Pusik refers to Chesed in a very interesting way in the Aroyos. V'ish asher yikach es achosoy bas oviv chesed hi v'nichrasi la'einei b'nei huam. That means that there is an element of unbridled kindness which can lead to almost to incest. And therefore, one needs the balance of gevira in order to hold it in check. Now, from there, we go on to explore a little what is a greater clarification of this week's Seder of Kanuas. The root of Kanuas is Kif Nien Aleph, same word as jealous. Rashi associates it with Nekuma, revenge. And the Pusik says, Hineni noisain loy es berisi shulam. The Rebbein Shalom says, I extend to Pinchas my covenant of peace. The Chassam Sofer, in his war against the Reform, once explained the concept of Oyev Shulam v'Roidev Shulam. Oyev Shulam, somebody who loves peace, we can understand. But why would the Roidev be associated with Shulam? Roidev is usually somebody who is a pursuer, an aggressor. Says Chassam Sofer, yes. Sometimes Shulam is achieved by a Roidev. And that is Pinchos ben Eluzo ben Aharon HaKohen. We have a Vuv Ketir, a split Vuv. In the word Shulam, that Vuv, in order to make a Sefer Torah, Kusha should be split in half. A Vuv Achiba would be connected. It's an attachment. That's usually understood. How you would normally perceive the word Shulam, you think as making up, togetherness, hugging, kissing. But here, no, it's a Vuv Ketir. And here we recognize a new type of Shulam. Peace by dissociation. And is a message which is very relevant to us here in the 2019. There is a blurring and confusion as to who is a good guy and who is the bad guy at the beginning of this week's Seder. Ostensibly, Zimri ben Suli depicts love, not war, inclusivist, not rejectionist, an amicable, tolerant man. Pinchas is the fundamentalist, the fanatic, the zealot, violence, cruel, spearing two people in cold blood and then displaying them for all to see. Says Rashi, Ben Putizeh, that's a lineage from Yisroi, the cruel and sadistic calf stuffer, who then slaughters his victims once they're beyond satiation. But the Rebbein Shlomo clarifies, no, hineni noisen loy es berisi shuloy. To clarify, the cruel one is Zimri. He has the blood of 24,000 victims on his hands, Yidden, who died in the plague, which started as a consequence of his callous indulgence. The kind and the compassionate one is Pinchas, who in his pure act of zealousness brought an end to the plague, like the Pusik says. Vaychaper al b'nai Yisur. The world that we live in currently is one blurred with turbulence, confusion. The tolerant and inclusive agnostics need all the rights to be equal and to be recognized. Gender, transgender, deviants are all to be loved, to be respected. But the religious ones are the ones left to set the boundaries and define what is moral and what is right, what is kind and what is corrupt, deviant and cruel to humanity. It's up to us to anchor our lives, navigating a steady connection with the Rebbein Shloilom, and to maintain that moral balance. It's not politically correct, but it's the emes. So we come back to the Rebbein Shloilom's message. What did he say to Pinchas? Hineni noisein loi es berisi shuloim. Who determines whether it's zealous or jealous? Here the Rebbein Shlolem underwrites the check and he says, you may associate Pinchas, his genealogy, not to Yisroel as ben piti zeh, she piti mavi imoy agulim lavoid zure, but no, the Torah refers to a different gene. Pinchas ben Eluzor ben Aharon HaKoyen, Bu Akusev v'yichsoy Acha Aharon, the ultimate pursuer of peace. Rabbi Zin Yadler was a renowned Kanui, and he once said to his son, many mitzvahs have possibilities of being performed sheloi lishmo. You give tzedakah, you might want the plaque on the wall, you might want all the kudos, but at the end of the day, the people who are the netzuchim get the money. They enjoy it, they benefit from it. The mitzvah has been done. Even Torah, we've got the concept of mitoch sheloi lishmo, bu lishmo as a component. Said the Rebbe Zion Yadler to his son, my advice to you, don't be a kanui. It's only a holy act if it is 100% altruistic and pure. If not, the identical act becomes achzurious, callous, sadistic, and emanates from midois mishchusois. There was a story once in Yerushalayim. There they didn't used to have any music at weddings, and in some places this still exists. They used to have a poiker. Man used to play the drums and they used to dance around in circles, and that formed the musical liveliness to the wedding. One vorgeschrittener, more advanced, free-thinking man, he decided in those days he's taking a clarinetist. And the clarinetist came to play by the chasana. In between Ben Gavril and Gavril, when they stopped the dancing, so a kanui was in the hall, had walked in and seen this clarinetist. He approached the musician and he says, "Ooh, nice instrument. Can I have a look?" "Pleasure." Shows him the clarinet. Man takes it, starts to play with it, with the keys, blow it, look at the reed. "Wieviel kost es? How much does it cost, such a clarinet?" "Se, das kostet $300, $300. Really? He took the instrument, took the clarinet, smashed it in half over his knee, gave him back the two halves, took out his wallet, and counted out $300, and gave it to the musician. This story will irritate some people, and yet astound other people. Now, if you witness someone embarrassing another, you might consider your response. You might plan a tactic, how you're going to answer him. But if someone ridicules your father, the reaction is knee-jerk. "That's my father you're embarrassing." And then there's an outburst. And that's Pinchas' reaction to Zimri's outrage. Du zachilel Hashem, man tate, the heilige Bashefe, they're making a chilel Hashem berabim. How can I tolerate this? This is an outburst which is associated to a feeling about the desecration of God. And therefore, it's bekanoi eskinusi, it's something to do with the vengeance, to do with him. You know, the Kotzke Rebbe and the Vulke Rebbe, they were as children from when they were friends from when they were little children. And when they were, a curious adult once approached them and posed the question to them both. And he said to them, one was called Yitzchak Livulke, and one was called Mendel Kotzke. So he said, "Geb eng azlote, tome de zugst me, wie de eibischte is. I pay you one coin, tell me where is the Rebbeinu Shalom." So you see here an interesting answer. Reb Itziki, little Volker Rebbe, at that time answered, "The Eibishter is, wie melotte maram, wherever you let him in entry to, and you give him a possibility to come in, That's where he'll be. But Mendel Kotzke, as a little child, answered in his characteristic sharpness. I'll give you 2 coins if you tell me whether the Rebbein Shloim is not. Now, we take this way of thought and we take it to Parshas Pinchas. And you have one pusik interpreted by the two great Rebbes. The Volker Rebbe said, Pinchos ben Eluza ben Aharon HaKohen, it says, Bekanoi es kinusi besoichom. Heishiv es chamusi me'al ben Yisroel, Bekanoi es kinusi besoichom. Said the Volker Rebbe, even if Pinchos acted in zealousness, and in an extreme manner, nonetheless, he remained besoichom, he was part of the Yidden. He was in close brotherhood and deep warmth. He was besoichom zwischen seine Bride. But the Kotzki Rebbe said, no, bekanoi es kinusi besoichom, that forevermore and for future generations, Pinchas ingrained and he seared into the psyche of Klal Yisur, bekanoi es kinusi besoichom soll angebacken werden tief in the Klal Yisur, not to tolerate an affront to the sanctity and the Kedisha of Yiddishkeit, even if the perpetrator is a Nusi B'Yisur, as Zimri Ben Suli. So let's clarify, and we start to summarize the questions which we asked. We asked the first question, why doesn't the Parsha start with a census count and say, as the beginning of a new Parsha might. The Parsha of Pinchas, we asked, really does not belong to the end of last week, following the action. The answer to that, in view of what we've said, is that true and genuine kanuas requires reflection. The Torah teaches us that to get the Eibishter's acclaim as a bona fide zealot, that requires deliberation, space, and reflection. And therefore the two Parshas provide the space for reflection before one is 100% sure that one is that bona fide kanui. We ask the question, how come Klal Yisur, distinguished for their tzniyas, as in Matoy v'yulechu Yaakov, she'ein pischein mechivunim zelu zeh, that mid of tzniyas where the Rebbein Shloim signed, as we said, shiftei ko eidis li'Yisur, where the Yid Kei is at the beginning at the end of every single shevet, they should fall prey to vayuchelu om liznois at benois moyov. So famously, by Rav Pinchas Lukotze, he said that due to the absence of the Midas HaGevira that was there, because Loizua Mashem, the Rebbein Shloilam, did not exercise that Midah there. Consequently, the world was thrown into an avalanche of unbridled chesed. Self-restraint and boundaries were absent, because the Midas HaKas was not there. Consequently, they were prone to znis, because chesed was abound, unbridled, and therefore vayuchelu om liznis. The next question we asked was, what is the meaning of bedin hu sheyitel schuroi? Since when does a person receive his reward in this world? We know the klal, the general rule that prevails. Schar mitzveh b'hai alme leke. But the ability to overcome the Yetzer Hara, as we discussed, emanates from that Midas HaKas and Gevira, endowed by the Eibishter into the Yetzer Tov, which is fighting our Yetzer Hara for us, is able to contain the temptations of the Yetzer Hara. That's why the Gemara says, there is no way that the normal, average, regular human being could contemplate the combat of a constant onslaught of the Yetzer Hara if the Ribbono Shel Olam was not there to assist. But Pinchas rose to combat the Yetzer Hara without this heavenly assistance, because the Ribbono Shel Olam had removed that Midas HaGevira from the cosmos. And therefore, now that Pinchas nonetheless went up and performed this act of Kanuas, Bedin Hu Shita Tzchura, he has created this Midas HaGevira himself, and then for Bedin Hu Shita Tzchura, he should get the Scha according to the letter of the law. A question which we asked in the meaning of Rashi: why does Rashi use these words, Bekitzpoyes HaKetzef, Shehoyu Li Likzoif? So the Gemara explains, like we said before, Melamed Shekol Oison Hayumim, that during those days, Loizu HaMashem Reboin Shloilam did not exercise that Midas HaKaz anger Gevira. So who had to assume that role? It was for Pinchas to do it. And therefore, Pinchas assumed Kaviyuchel, the Eibishter's role of Gevira. Shehoyu Li Likzoif, Pinchas did it for me, on my behalf, as I did not exercise Gevura and Zah. Which again explains the stira which we asked. One pusik in Tehillim says, the Kail Zoya and Bechol Yoim, and the other one says, Chesed Kail Kola Yoim. Either it's Chesed or it's Zah. But this apparent contradiction is now easily answered. The Belzeruvi Besuchet Dov actually he clarifies it to a greater deal, and he says that the chesed of the Ribbon Shel Olam is daike, that he allows his zam and midas hagvira to be manifest, essentially enabling us to withstand and to withstand the restraint of the temptations to the Yetzer Hara. And his raya beautifully, as personified in the zmiras which we sing on Friday night, Meshoyach Chastechu liyodechu kail kanoi v'noikain. Draw your kindness, the chesed of the Ribbon Shel Olam, to the ones that know you, zealous God, or God of Kanuas. Now, if you think about it, how do you reconcile chesed with kail kanoi v'noikain? Wouldn't it be appropriate to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam is goymel, chesed, or something along those lines, but kanoi v'noikain? You might suggest, because if you are a grammar, then you'd say that noikem rhymes with lehukem, and noikem rhymes with tavhikem, and that it makes more sense with the lines of the words. But the truth is no. That the Ribbono Shel Olam's invoking of kinne and gevira is the very ultimate chastechu liyodecho, because if not for that, we would not be able to combat and to manage to come to terms with the Yetzer Hara. To try and cut the next part, which is to do with the Nuna de Yoimer, into the next few minutes. There is a Gemurah. Before we start, we should remember that this morning we mentioned the various things that happened on Shavuos Betamos. Amongst them was the Bittul HaTumid. That was the end of the bringing of the Korban Tumid in the Beis HaMikdash. Now there's a Gemurah in Bava Kamma, Pai Bais, but Bais says like this. Tuni Rabuna, Keshetsuri Bais Chashmanui, Ze al Ze, Hoyu Horkenois mi Bifnim, Va Aristoblus mi Bachutz. Was a king, left over queen. The queen was eventually took over the monarchy. Monarchy had left two sons. One of them was called Aristoblus, one of them was called Horkenos, and they were warring factions with each other. At that time, one became king, one remained outside. The one was outside who did not accept the monarchy changed his mind, and then he wanted to become king instead. Bottom line was, the one which was outside of Yerushalayim, now aligned and took up his strength together with the Roman emperor and the Soina, and asked for him to intervene on his behalf to retrieve the monarchy. Says the Gemurah, Hukunos was Bifnim, which was one son. Aristobulus was Bibachutz, outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Ibachol Yoim, every single day, this was the custom. Hoyu Meshalshalim, Lohem, Bekupo, Dinrin. they used to want to have a korban tumid, so they paid for it. Down went the basket with full of gold coins, of obviously far in excess of the value of two little sheep. And they brought up, and that settled that. The Romans were making a killing. Fortune of money being paid for two meager little lambs. Then it says, Ho Yusham Zukan Echot. He was an evil man, an old man. Which the Gemara really associates the whole thing with the cursed man who then employs and is knowledgeable of Chochma Yevunis. But in the context of our story, he told the powers that be, Umaluhem, listen carefully to me. Kol zman she'oizkim bo'avoidu einim surim b'yetchem. As long as this is ongoing and they bring that korban tumid on a daily basis, you will never penetrate those walls. Lemucha, so the following day, shilshlu dinrin bekupo, they dropped down gold coins in this basket, vehelu lohem chazir, and they took a pig and put it into the basket, and because they were up there, they couldn't see what they were dragging up. Up came the chazir to the walls of Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Kivin shehigia lechatzi choymo, it was halfway up that wall. Nuat tziponov b'choymo, it dug its hooves into the wall. V'nizdazu etzisuel, it was a tremor, almost like an earthquake in etzisuel. Arba mayois parsu, for 400, a distance of 400 parsu, al arba mayois parsu. Rest of the Gemara discusses the Nekida of the Chochma Yevunis. But for our purpose, we've got a couple of questions. What's the significance of him digging in his hooves halfway up the wall? Furthermore, what's the symbolism of this chazir altogether? Why did they put in a porcupine, a squirrel, or they wanted to be derogatory, they put in a rat or something nasty like this? And why did Yerushalayim tremble for a distance of 400 parsa? Is there something pertinent and specifically significant about the number 400? Which brings us to a Rashi in Parshas Toldos, describing Esav ben Arbuim Shunah. He was 40 years old. Vayikach Ishues Yehides bas Ba'eri Achiti ves Bosmas bas Eloi Achiti. What happened? Vatihiyenu moiras ruach li Yitzchok le Rivko. This contributed to great deep felt aggravation for Yitzchok and Rivko. Zugt heilige Rashi. Ben Abuim Shunu. Esav hoyu nimshal chazir. He is compared to the pig. Shenema pusik in Tilem. Yechar semenu chazir miyua. Why? Explains Rashi. Hachazir azeh, this pig, kishyushoychev poishet telufov, he extends his claws out, which we have got into our lexicon today as the chazafisel. Loima, ru'u, observe, shani tur, I'm a pure animal, look, I have split hoofs. Kach eili, those are the same types of hypocrites. The people that on the face of it hide under this hideous externality of showing themselves as being finer Yidden. Kol mem shunu hoyu Esav tzadnushi mitachas yad ba'alayim mima'ane oisom. This man had no compunction of seducing other women, married or not, in order to exercise his own pleasures. And here, kishohoye b'mem shunu, uma, apa b'mem shunu nusu, afani chayin. Yechom b'azam soire, wie de tato zuch gefiel. Man tato trasne gat, ba 40 jure, ja, in zene menish me wat auf dime soire. Ich auch. Now, if we think about it, what's the difference between truth and hypocrisy? truth means a person has to face himself, even if that prospect is uncomfortable. Introspection. Hypocrisy is essentially a rationalization. To avoid confronting your real self, you say, I'm really good. Look, I'm kosher. Can't you see? I've got kosher hoofs. I bist doch nicht kamala geire. Yeah, but you can see, look. You're wallowing in mud. You're filthy, squalid. Why are you showing yourself as a kosher behaime? But I've got kosher tlufim. Look. This is the essence of the hypocrite. Now, if we think back to the reality, what happened with Zman HaBayis? Let's take a little insight and imagine what life was like then. Kol Yingeman comes in the morning and he's ready to start his Seido. Comes to look for his Chavris. His Chavris is not there, he's absent. Wie ist Yaakli? Yaakli, what happened? He got up this morning and he's a Metzoyre. He got a big blotch on his forehead and now he's sitting by Timus Hezgim, Chitz Lamachne. He went to the Kohen. Azoi. Santa Masa. Then he starts to think, you know what? Dacke, you know what? Yesterday on the bench, mod geschmiest auf dem Bank wegen Grünem. And we started to say this and that. And Dacke, efsche gewinne, aluschen horre, efsche taka schale für nuschen horre. There was no schale. There was a life of truth. He looked at it in the face, very, very literally. And then today, something like this would happen. What would we say? Meh! Gwein bappe tlusse. Ustumme was lute eiles. Zivein yedua la koil. There were a host of reasons of rationale why we should say what happened happened. But there was no chochmas then. All of a sudden he's excommunicated and he's not there. He's not in koil and he won't be there for a week either. Until we sort him out. Somebody's sitting in his chair on Shabbos morning and he's twiddling with his beard. And lo and behold he finds he's got two hairs in his hand. A toilish. Today, efshar shtikla tzip. Maybe a little bit of a discomfort. Ach, mis asik, shazin gehad. Psikreishe de loy lichalai. And come up with a whole load of rationale why it's okay. But those days, he lived in Haifa, he picked himself up after Shabbos. Off he went and he made the trek to Yerushalayim. And he looked for a chattas shmeine because he had two hairs in his hand on Shabbos. No chochmas. Because when a person brought a korban those days, he looked at himself introspectively. He realized the truth. And that korban, when it was shechted and the blood was spilled, he looked at that korban and he said, that should have been me. And when he heard the Levim sing and the blood being brought towards the Mizbayach, he thought, that should have been my blood. That was the emes. But the quintessential antithesis to the self-deception and the hypocrisy is the deception when a person is not prepared to face up to the truth and he wants to be the hypocrite and he'll say, nah, sinish tazoi, sukte pusik, in shira shirim, Iti milvuno in tuvoi, which is Rosh Taivoi's emes. Milvuno was with Samigdosh, which was white, cleansed the virus of people. And therefore, we understand. The Gemara spoke about the Chazir because the Chazir was going to substitute that korban. The korban, essentially the korban, which is supposed to bring introspection, to look towards himself truthfully, honestly. And now comes the symbol of Esav, of Sheker, the Sheker of the Chazer, and the 400 pulses, again the 400 men which symbolize Esav who went to fight Yaakov Avini, who was the Midas, who MS. And there one undermines the other because Esav epitomizes Sheker and hypocrisy. And Yerushalayim trembled as a concept that this is going to be brought up as a korban. And it dug its hooves in. Why its hooves? Because the hooves were very, very much the symbol of that falsehood where the animal says, look at me, and there this is going to be the new korban. So by Meile, we ask from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Yiri Anayni, V'yismach Libayni, V'sugel Nafshayni, M'zol Zoyche Zayn, one day to see him etchem Bekurev, the Halbsmikdish soll gebot werden, Susoin V'simchu Yasigi, V'nos, Yugoin V'anuchu, B'shivi L'Yerushalayim. Thank you. Okay.